This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
Strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
A common definition of recession is two negative quarters of GDP growth. We should be not characterizing that as a recession.
I understand that, but you're splitting hairs. I mean, if the technical definition is two quarters of contraction, you're saying that's not a recession. No,
that's not the technical definition.
Oh, well, isn't that convenient?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
It's battle stations. You're talking about putting a party in power in which there will never be another election.
I've developed a device for traveling through time, which I call a time machine.
We actually won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
The election was not fair. The process was not fair.
You can run the best campaign, and you can have the election stolen from you.
This doesn't fit the narrative.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. I don't know whether we're technically going to be in a recession or not by the end of the week, but I think that when an organ of the Democrat Party, religious faith, Politico, says that there's a Category 5 storm coming of bad economic news, I think it's time to batten down the hatches, maybe bring in the cushions from the patio before the storm hits.
Does Biff Buffington do any market reports?
Not usually, but maybe he should, actually, in this case. There's a lot of bad news coming their way, and they're already trying to spin it, as always. And their fluffers in the mainstream media will, of course, be buying into it totally. You just heard some of it. The thing is, they have all these people that they put out there. I'm just looking at the cut sheet here. You have Janet Yellen, never really had a real job in finance, is just an academic. Jared Bernstein, ditto, and Brian Deese, who's kind of like a coffee boy for the Yellens and the Bernsteins of the world. None of these people have ever forget being an employer. They've never been employees in the sense that you and I have been employees. You know, like having to be an hourly worker and get offered overtime or being told not to come in for a day because they don't know what that's like. They're all legacies. They all have trust funds. They all have tenure, you know, and they're the ones who are out here telling us, oh, this is going to be a great transition for everybody, you know, and you know, you got a problem with the price of gas, forget it. Just buy a Tesla for $70,000. You'll be all set. And incidentally, Biden keeps talking about all these service stations. Now he says there are up to 30,000 service stations where you can get gas for under $4 a gallon. I don't know. I'm told that it's near that, you know, in Connecticut because they've suspended the gas tax. I don't happen to be in a state where they've suspended the gas tax because they never suspend any tax in Massachusetts. And I had to fill up today, and it was $4.55 a gallon. That's about what it's been like. And by the way, I'm appreciative of Putin's price plunge, but it doesn't make up for Putin's price rise, you know. And Taylor this weekend saw a bumper sticker that said, "Never forget 1621. And I never will. Gas was $1.99 a gallon. How could you ever forget it? You know, the only thing I'll remember even more is November 6, 2020, when it was like $1.87 a gallon.
Putin's price strike.
508 says the economic walls are closing in on Biden. Yes, I think they are. So the way it's going to work is tomorrow, consumer confidence numbers come out, and you know how much consumer confidence you have as a consumer. Then there's going to be a meeting of the Federal Reserve on Wednesday, and they're going to jack up the interest rates. The consensus now is it's going to be 0.75 point, 75 basis points, if you want to pretend that you're an insider. 75 basis points. That should that means the mortgage rates will be going up hundreds of dollars a month. The mortgage payments will be going up hundreds of dollars. That'll put a real dent in the real estate market. And then on Thursday, they'll have the first reading on second quarter economic growth. Now that's the key one. I think everything else they know that there's no consumer confidence. They know that the real estate market is about to take another hit, but they want to finagle those numbers on Thursday so that they can claim that technically it's not a recession, because technically they're quibbling over the definition, because that's what they do. They're quibblers. They're talking about how if you have any growth, even if it's like 0.1% of growth from quarter to quarter in the GDP, the gross domestic product, then you're not in a recession technically. So they'll just try to finagle the numbers and say that, some numbers you can't, the way the Democrats work. It's like the inflation numbers. You know, they said it was 9.1% last month, and the real numbers show that it was closer to 17%, that inflation hasn't been running this high since 1947. So now they're saying, it's bad. But it could be worse. It could be worse. The numbers are backward looking. So you want to let's play some of these cuts. Let's start out with Yellen here. Let's play cut two. And again, this is why, maybe you were in college your freshman year and there was a required economics course. This is why you never took a second economics course. This is why you probably don't watch CNBC or Fox Business Channel. Cut two.
A common definition of recession is 2 negative quarters of GDP growth, or at least that's something that's been true in past recessions. When we've seen that, there has usually been a recession. And many economists expect second quarter GDP to be negative. First quarter GDP was negative. So we could see that happen, and that will be closely watched. But I do want to emphasize what a recession really means is a broad-based contraction in the economy. And even if that number is negative, we are not in a recession now. And I would warn that we should be not characterizing that as a recession.
I understand that, but you're splitting hairs. I mean, if the technical definition is 2 quarters of contraction, you're saying that's not a recession?
That's not the technical definition.
Wait, I thought she said it was the technical definition, but it really didn't meet the broad-based. Again, I'm using a lot of air quotes here, but I thought she said it didn't meet the broad-based definition, which is their new definition. And again, these are the questions she's getting from a well-known Democrat operative by the name of Maynard G. Todd, Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. He's a former coat holder for a corrupt, stolen valor senator on Capitol Hill. Okay, so now we have Deese. Deese is the guy from Belmont, Massachusetts, same town as Thoroughly Modern Millie, the chief of staff, and Admiral Rachel Levine. He's from.
You know who I am?
How dare you?
I'm just telling you the kind of place he comes from. Okay, so you see the milieu he's coming out of. He has a little scruffy beard, and he used to work for Obama, and he went to Middlebury College, and his father is a professor, and his mother is a hack in the state of Massachusetts who now works for some kind of conservation group, and he's very, very woke, and and his mother has a different last name than his father, and his wife has a different last name than him. This is Brian Deese. He's not exactly, his nickname in high school was not Blood and Guts. Let's put it that way. So he's singing on the from the same hymn book, although he never goes to church like none of these people do. Cut three.
Comments from some saying, two quarters of negative growth in a row, that's a recession.
Right, and certainly in terms of the technical definition, it's not a recession. The technical definition considers a much broader spectrum of data points.
He uses the same word, broad, technical, broad, broad-based. They're all using the same word. Let's see if Jared Bernstein says the same thing. This Jared Bernstein, again, another guy who's never been in, never had a real job. But he's like, he's the economic advisor. What is he? If you've never had a job, what do you know about the economy? Cut four.
I guess I would really object to this kind of semantic claim. I mean, the two of them just had a very substantive economic discussion that wasn't about semantics. It was about what's going on with key economic variables. The idea that two quarters of negative GDP growth is a technical definition of a recession is wrong.
Well, Yellen said it was right. She's got more. She's got at least two or three more degrees than Jared Bernstein does. She must know. It's semantics. I thought it's broad-based. It's technical. It's semantical. A close friend of mine just got a big new job. I asked him for his new address so I could send him a congratulatory gift. Instead of the traditional flowers or candy, he asked me if I could send him an Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier. Have you thought about buying someone the Thunderstorm air purifier as a gift? I'm holding it in my hand right now. I can tell you that's what people really want. Paul Rizzo, our insurance guy, just bought the 3-pack for his new winter home. The 3-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are, number one, odors, could be pet, tobacco, or musty basement smells or anything else. Number two, the Thunderstorm air purifier can relieve allergies and sinus problems caused by pollen and air pollution. Number three, the safe ozone technology destroys up to 99.9% of air pollutants. The Eden Pure air purifier doesn't take up any floor space and is small enough to hold in your hand. And there are no air filters to replace, saving you both time and money. Get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3. You can use a couple for yourself and maybe give one as a gift like I did. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie3. Shipping is free. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will be back in a bit. The paperboy is going to make a few edits on his latest Herald column.
You want to break into my kind of racket? This is the lousiest game there is. You can risk your hide to get a good shot, and the city desk may stick it on page 10 if it's used at all.
In a world that's constantly changing.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
He's a rock on talk radio. I guess a talking rock. Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Howie Carr is back.
What do you hear about that thing?
What thing, the Brooklyn thing?
No, the guy from downtown.
The guy from there where Christy used to live, that?
No. The guy who disappeared up the block from Christie, the one that made the beef on.
Oh.
That's Paul Sorvino with Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta died a month or so ago, and today Paul Sorvino will not be down for breakfast. This is a bad year for movie gangsters, that's for sure. James Caan, Sonny in the Godfather, has just died a couple weeks ago, and then there was Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos. So that's four in just the last couple of months. 844-500-4242. I still say Goodfellas is my favorite gangster movie of all time, even more so than The Godfather. Although The Godfather, obviously, you know, is one of probably the 5 or 10 best movies of all time. American, anyway. Today's, and that's the only kind there is, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to movies. Gee, Bob Rafelson died.
Who?
Bob Raffleson, he's the producer, the director of Five Easy Pieces, a great Jack Nicholson movie with Sally Struthers, really good movie from the early 70s. And he was also one of the executive producers of The Monkees. Hey, Hey, We're the Monkees. And they say he got into movies. He was stationed in Japan after World War II, and he started going to Japanese movies. Well, it must have been really boring on the base if he was going to Japanese movies. That's all I can say.
Monkees was pretty groundbreaking TV, though.
Yeah, The Monkey. Yeah. But I'm just saying some people are so into movies that they'll go to foreign movies. I'm not that into movies. Subtitles, not for me. Hey, Hey, We're the Monkees. People say we monkey around. Today's poll question is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had someone audit your insurance to see if you're getting the most coverage for your money? Contact Dan or Paul Rizzo at RizzoInsurance.com. They have helped me and my staff, and they can help you save money too. Get the Rizzo Insurance audit at no charge, no obligation. RizzoInsurance.com. I don't know if you've heard the news, but the Senate has passed legislation calling for a return to happy hours in Massachusetts.
Isn't happy hour any time?
If you're at home, any hour could be happy hour. But happy hour traditionally means that's a certain hours, like from 4 to 8 p.m., 5, whatever, where a bar can serve two drinks for the price of one. And it was a very big thing in the 70s, back in the days when it was an 18-year-old drinking age. And it went away when Mike Dukakis, the Cotton Mather of Massachusetts politics in the 20th century, got back in. He ended happy hours. So they've been gone for 40 years. But they're coming back. It's gone to a conference committee. And it looks like it's going to go through. So happy hours will soon be returning. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you support the return of happy hour in Massachusetts?
Yes, I do.
77% say they do.
All right. 844. I know there were problems with happy hour, but you know, if Mike Dukakis was against them, what can I tell you? I'm for them 100%. Always was. 844-500-4242. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how are you today, Howie?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm not sure if this is a topic that most people ever think about, but, you know, whenever I get my registration renewal forms in the mail, I get a Jiffy Lube advertisement with it. And the government must be making money off of Jiffy Lube when they get it. And here they are. You know, they're getting into the advertising business by doing that. And then on top of that, you know, that brings up the whole subject of how they're making money off of renewable energy. You know, all of these housing projects and all of these old trash dumps.
Mike, they're making money off of everything. You know, they keep talking about big oil and windfall profits, but big oil is making a lot less money than the state or the federal governments are making on a gallon of gasoline with the taxes. Same with tobacco.
Yeah, they're trying to privatize the energy industry. They're trying to wipe out the oil companies, and they're trying to make it that everybody's going direct to the government for energy. And, you know, I think what ends up happening is you've got the power of the purse in the elected officials in the legislature. If they start to figure out ways to make money on their own and go direct to the public for money, and replace private industry.
Mike, you know what the problem is? That they can't deliver the way the private sector can. Because, you know, if the government provides anything, including managing land, the government doesn't do as good a job of managing land or managing supply of anything than the private sector does, because the private sector has skin in the game. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, if we end up relying on the government to provide our home heating oil, say, we're all going to freeze to death. If we rely on them to provide a gasoline or diesel to get us around, we're all going to end up walking or riding the bus or taking a donkey. It just doesn't work. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with Grace's news. We got so much planned today. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr. Oh, okay. I thought, I'm sorry. I thought we were at the break. My clock seems to be a little off. My own clock, not the digital clock. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, I don't really care what Janet Yellen or Brian Deese or Jared Bernstein, all these academics and congressional aides say. I want to know what the 17 Nobel laureates say. Is this a recession or is this not a recession? That's all. Just riddle me this, Batman. Or is it 14 of them? You know what Ronald Reagan's definition of a recession was? I think it's as true today as it was 40 years ago. A recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose your job. All right, 844-500-4242. Time now for Grace's News.
You said you don't care about what Brian Deese has to say or what Janet Yellen has to say. What about Gina Raimondo? Will you make an exception for Gina Raimondo? Because, you know, we're talking about the new terminology, Howie. We had mentioned, I had told you earlier that Brian Deese is coming out with backward-looking numbers. A month ago, they were out-of-date numbers. Well, Gina Raimondo is doing one of your favorites. These people play the hits. They know what people like to hear. She's playing the old hit peak. She thinks that inflation has probably reached its peak, cut 8, or 9, I'm sorry, Taylor.
Has inflation peaked?
I think probably.
You know, when I hear the word peaked, I become peaked. P-I-Q-U-E-D.
I always thought that was peaked.
No, peaked. I'm peaked when I hear the word peaked. And, you know, at least she had a cup of coffee on Wall Street. By the way, someone wants to know if Brian Deese went to Belmont Hill High School like Admiral Rachel Levine.
I thought the same thing.
Modern Millie.
I said the same thing.
No. He did not. As far as I can figure out, he went to Belmont High School, not Belmont Hill School.
Well, since we're talking about the
best. But he certainly conducts himself like he went to Belmont Hill.
Since we're talking about the best and brightest, it feels like we're leaving someone out. Ron Klain. Ron Klain also weighed in on this on MSNBC.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did. Cut 30, please, Taylor.
Well, Simone, I think the president's approval rating is kind of a reflection of how people feel about what's going on in the country. And some things in our country aren't going well, not because of what the president did, but in fact, because of what the president's fighting against.
He's fighting against
himself,
mom and pop gas station owners, putting the price on the on those big digital signs out in front of their gas stations.
No, I think
that's what's causing the crisis in consumer confidence. That's why the Federal Reserve is about to up the interest rates 75 basis points.
I think this is more of a Jussie Smollett type of fight, where he's fighting against his own instincts. Everything he's doing is destroying the country, so he's trying to stop it.
It's Jussie Smollett in the sense that the attackers are wearing MAGA hats.
Yes, yes, that would be true. And lastly, Howie, just to finish this off here, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, also was having a conversation. And now we've talked a lot about inflation, but the thing on everyone's mind, as Howie mentioned earlier, is recession. And so they're trying their best to take away any meaning of the term recession to confuse people enough where they won't think they're in one. This is KJP, cut 29.
Is the White House trying to change the common definition of a recession because next Thursday the GDP numbers coming out are going to show that we've been in a recession?
So let me say this. You know, the strength of our labor market along with the other economic factors is what we generally see in a recession or even It's not what we generally see in a recession or even a pre-recession because we're seeing the strength of the economy and the labor market. So that's really important to note there because those are key elements as we talk about that, as folks keep asking us about that. So Americans across the country are back to work at a historic level. 21 states, the most in history, have unemployment rates at or below 3%. That is an important number to note. 14 states are are now at their lowest unemployment rates since this series began in 1976. And last month, the unemployment rate was a new low in 8 states. So again, the strength of our labor market along with...
I was a young man when that answer began. And that was truly worthy of Kamala Harris.
Yeah. No, that was a rough one.
Do you know she has a problem?
It's still going. Oh, it just ended.
Do you know that she has a problem with making her subjects and her verbs agree? And she seems confused by singular and plural nouns. Have you noticed that?
Well, I'm really just noticing how all of these people, all of these, you know, Ivy Leaguers are now...
She went to Columbia, by the way.
They're trying to back away from this word recession. And the GDP report doesn't come out until Thursday. So I call this softening the soil. They're getting us ready for something. You might even say they expect...
They're preparing the field, you'd call this, in combat. Right.
Yeah, they're
shelling. They're shelling the front lines of the enemy.
It's almost like they expect,
which is the American people, us.
They expect some bad news, but when right. when it comes here, Howie, you know what it will be.
It's all news.
No, it will be unexpected. But I'm getting the sense that they feel something is imminent. By the way,
781. He has a definition of a recession. 2 quarters of negative growth is only a recession. For Republicans,
yes.
Not for Democrats. They have to have 16 quarters of negative growth to be approaching a broad-based economic restructuring.
Well,
that does not make the meet the classical definition of the most current understanding of a Kamala Harris reading.
Well, when you really think about it, with Donald Trump, the economy we had, and you can talk to, maybe the Nobel laureates would disagree, but most people with an understanding of the economy would say it was record-breaking. Like, we really hadn't seen numbers like that ever. And there was no... He didn't deserve any credit. They would say, this has nothing to do with his policies. It's just, you know, this is Obama. This is the result of all Obama's hard work, the shovel-ready jobs, all that good stuff. And now with Biden, the gas prices go down 40 cents, and they want us to throw him a parade. They want us to start, like, erecting statues in his honor.
Because he's a Democrat.
Yes, because he's a Democrat and because they know that there is very
incidentally, there's
for
some
him.
Good news from the White House. The president, his COVID symptoms are fading away. And we don't know about his other diseases. We don't know about the asthma that he's claimed. We don't know about the cancer that he's claimed to have. And we also don't know about the one disease that he hasn't acknowledged having. And you know what that is. I won't even mention it.
There's a photo of him that he tweeted out. Took some calls this morning with man's best coworker, and he's sitting outside in a suit, and his dog, I think it's Champ, is sitting next to him. Looks a bit staged, but this is
a beautiful dog, a talented dog.
You know, you can. It's kind of like their tell, Howie. You know how people have a tell when they play cards? It's their tell when they bring out an animal that they're getting really desperate.
Or their kids. I remember John Kerry, when he had young daughters and he was running for the Senate, he always, if he got a tough headline in the paper that morning, the kids would be out with him for the live shots at night.
Yeah.
I mean, literally use them as a shield.
Well, that's what Joe Biden did when he was on the beach in, I think he was that Delaware? He was on the beach and his grandchildren were kind of wrangling him around saying, come on, Grandpa, don't stop for the cameras. There is an interesting little back and forth between Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and another far-left progressive. So a progressive state lawmaker from Queens took a shot at Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for being absent and out of touch, accusing the left-wing icon of blowing off a meeting. Now, this is something we've talked about before because... You always say this about Ed Markey, like he's, and I know he's a senator, she's a congresswoman, so there are different things, but you always say he's never in Massachusetts. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and I think all politicians are probably guilty of this to some degree, she is constantly, not only not in her district, but she's constantly doing these theatrical, you know, performances in front of the Supreme Court, you know,
well,
in D.C.
As one of these guys who complained to the state senator said, she's doing performative resistance art for the cameras. That is such a perfect description of it. That whole thing with the handcuffed hands behind her back, which weren't really handcuffed.
And state lawmaker Jessica Ramos, she's the Western and Central Queens district, which overlaps with AOC's congressional district. She was replying back to this, and you know what they accused her of?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. So if you're a man and you criticize Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it's because you want to date her. No, it's because you want to date her. You're obsessed with her. And if you're a woman, it's because you're jealous.
I thought she had a good line, too, to AOC. Just saying it would be nice if you breathed our air. It's
not anytime soon. She's got too many. She's got a performance scheduled tomorrow at 3:45. Tickets still available.
I'm getting Robespierre fumes.
Yes.
Out of this one.
But Howie, I was talking about this today. I said, you know, you always told me, listen, when there's an AOC involved, Chuck Schumer and those kind of establishment Dems have to watch out because that's how they make their bones. They get rid of the old establishment Democrats.
Like she got rid of Crowley.
Like she got rid of Crowley. And we see that happen all the time. But it's going to be fun to watch future squad members try to take over regular squad members.
I think we're seeing the early indications of it in Massachusetts. I mean, Ayanna Pressley, you know, the bald squad member, the Ringo of the squad, she would like to run for the Senate. I mean, she has all the credentials. She's a radical. She's not from Massachusetts. But she's going to run against AOC, the fake Indian, who also is a radical, never had a job, Elizabeth Warren. And is not from Massachusetts. So Elizabeth Warren has no choice but to go super radical. She wants to blow up the Supreme Court. She wants to blow up the Senate because she knows that Ayanna's married to a jailbird.
And it's going to get
an ex-con.
It's going to get really, really strange when they're trying to outdo each other with like who can be more extreme.
It's already strange.
But when you think about like who can be more extreme with abortion. Like who can go further with that? I think you should be able to abort when they're 8 months, 9 months, after.
You know my saying?
I know.
Fourth trimester. So you got, after they're born, you got 3 months. That's the fourth trimester. Just take them for a test run. See if you like them. If you don't like them, just give them to Ralph Northam. He's back in obstetrics now. He's a pediatrician again. So he'll handle a kid for you. Dr. Northam.
He's a multi-talented guy. Moonwalking.
Yeah, Klansman.
Klansman.
Yeah, blackface, OBGYN. Minstrel, OBGYN.
He's like the talented Mr. Ripley. What can't he do?
He can't govern a state.
That's true. We got him on one thing. All right, Howie, that's it for me. I'll be back with Hate Mail Monday later.
Thank you, Grace. As you know, Mike Lindell and our friends at MyPillow have a passion for helping Howie Carr listeners get the best sleep of their lives. They didn't stop when they created the best pillow. MyPillow has done it again with the most incredible My Slippers. I have a pair, and life is so good when I'm wearing them. And now, for a limited time only, you can save up to $90. That's about two-thirds of the price on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale won't last long, so order yours today by using the promo code Howie at MyPillow.com. MyPillow took over 2 years to develop what I like to call heaven for your feet. What's really cool is that My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Your feet are just waiting to meet MyPillow's quality leather suede plus foam and impact gel, which helps prevent fatigue. This offer won't last forever. Get your $90 off. Again, that's two-thirds of the price. This is a hell of a deal.
It's a really good deal, and all of the products for MyPillow are such good quality. I just put on a new pair of MyPillow sheets on my bed. I love their pajamas, but they just use the highest quality material, and everything lasts you a really long time. And you'll always be happy with the products.
Call 800-658-4965 and use the code Howie or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and don't forget to use the code word Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Fighting the fake news, one former Democrat stenographer with a press pass at a time. It's Howie Carr.
We can all be quiet and peaceable and have a few beers together and listen to the music and not make any wrong moves.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. By the way, we had a poll question on Friday, and we asked the question, will there be federal charges filed against the Democrat who attempted to kill Lee Zeldin, the Republican congressman from Long Island, who's now running for governor of New York? And 95% of us, certainly including myself, said, no, there's no way, because they'd already dropped the charges. I mean, they'd bailed him with no bail, personal recognizance, the state courts, because they don't keep criminals behind bars anymore in New York State, not just the city, but the whole state. And guess what? We were wrong. I think it must have been such a bad look when they let this guy go after he tried to kill a congressman, when they're trying to gin up these ridiculous January 6th hearings where everybody claims they're still suffering post-traumatic stress disorder because people were running through the halls. So the feds grabbed this guy on Saturday, and he's now charged with assaulting a federal official. I'm quite shocked about it, but, you know, Lee Zeldin had a good take on it on Saturday morning about how the different ways this is played. When it's like the recession again, that texter was right. Imagine Trump if Trump had tried to say there wasn't a recession after the Wuhan flu arrived from Red China, they would have been all over him. But you know, Biden and his crew just get to say there's no recession. But anyway, this is how Lee Zeldin said it would have been treated if it had been a Democrat who'd been attacked by a Republican rather than a Democrat attacking a Republican. Cut 26.
This doesn't fit the narrative. If the fact pattern flips on its head and everything that I just told you resulted in the victim being on the left side of the aisle, being Democrats, you would then see a completely different story. It would be the number one story, and it wouldn't just be the number one story for a day. It would be the number one story for an entire cycle.
Then he said every congressman, Republican, would be asked to denounce this attack on a Democrat. But I would go so far as to say it wouldn't just be every congressman. It would be every Republican down to the municipal level, down to the village level, would be asked to comment on this and denounce it and be held responsible for it. But the Democrats, they just move on. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. He told the FBI he didn't even know who he was attacking. Oh, okay. I'm sure a Republican would have been allowed to get away with telling that to the FBI. Douglas, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Douglas.
Howie, Doug Bryant, thanks for taking my call.
Doug Bryant, a member of the Greatest Generation, the author of the great book, The Navy Gave Me Shoes.
Yes, I thank you, Howie. But I owe you a thank you. You met my special friends at a book signing up in Maine. I believe it was Ken's Place in Scarborough.
Yes. And yeah, my favorite place for seafood. Book, yes.
Yeah, when you signed their book, you added best to Doug, and I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Doug. How's it going for you?
Good. I'm out every day. I don't move quite as fast, but I'm out all the time. But I got a couple of things on inflation here, but I don't have much math background. Maybe you can help me out. this inflation there, the latest figure I had heard was 10%. And now I hear at the beginning of the show it's 17%.
Yeah, the old stats they used to use, Douglas, in June of 1947, if you use the same stats, the same way of computing inflation that they used in those days, it was 17.1% in June 1947, and in June of 2022, it was 17.3%. So they've changed the way they compute the statistics. They take out the quote unquote core food and fuel, which is ridiculous because I can't think of anything that's more core than food and fuel. Can you?
Now, I learned basic math in a one room school house in Snowville, New Hampshire, in the 1930s, and it looks to me like the value of the dollar is certainly down to 70 cents. So when I look at my mad money, there's a 30-cent differential there.
Yeah, I know. That's Doug Bryant. Check out his book, The Navy Gave Me Shoes. It's about his days on a submarine in World War II at the end of the end of the conflict. I'm Howie Carr.